reinforce that sense that practice is supposed to be something or yield some results. You know, I often offer invitations to rest in the moment or relax into the moment. And for many of you, you know, as you hear those words, some part of you may be going, huh? I'm not resting. I'm not relaxing. I'm a tangled mess right now. And I really think it's so helpful to acknowledge that and to not take that in as my practice isn't working or I'm not doing it right. Because the freedom in our practice is not in those outcomes. You know, it's like, I've had teachers describe it this way, which I kind of like. Our job is to show up for our practice. It's to be here and to set the intention, to be present, to be kind. And then we rest back into that intention and we just witness what unfolds. And practice over time for many people, most people I would say, has some benefits, which is part of what keeps us coming back and practicing. But what one of my teachers said that I so like is, it's like none of your business what benefits show up or when they show up. It's like your business is to show up with your intention and to practice, and the rest is like on its own timeline and shows up in its own mysterious way. And I find that's important to remember sometimes, because we can get kind of clingy or graspy around our practice. Like, I want it to feel this way or to look this way. Or we get comparative, like, wow, somebody else is describing feeling really at peace. I'm not. So what am I doing wrong? Or this isn't working for me. And the truth is, we often practice and can practice for a long, long time. And we can still be living in a body that has physical pain, or we can still be living in a mind that has emotional pain. You know, I think about all these years I've worked with practicing with this mind and heart that has a tendency, a very strong tendency towards anxious thinking, worrying, planning mind, all the ways, all the strategies that this mind has. And those haven't necessarily disappeared, even after all these years of practicing. But the freedom that comes and has come over time is, I have grown a sense of humor about those parts of my wiring. I don't take them quite as seriously. You know, it's like, wow, that is incredible. You know, sometimes I just marvel at what the mind's doing that I can't control. So we don't actually have to get rid of anything in ourselves or our experience, which is such good news. It may not be the news you want to hear, but it can be really freeing. And the freedom is in, I don't have to change. And paradoxically, sometimes when we stop fighting with something and trying to change it or fix it or figure it out, there's just a little more space around it. So the progress or the arc of the development of our practice might be these very subtle softenings. Like, there's more patience with those habits of ourselves, or there's more kindness. Like, oh, it is really painful to live in a body that experiences anxiety or experiences chronic pain. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, because I didn't want to do harm in how we were talking about that arc of practice last time, because it can be food for the comparing mind or the judging mind to pick up and evaluate our practice. And I don't know if it's true. I vaguely remember somebody once saying in a Dharma talk I heard that the Dalai Lama once said, you should check in on your practice like once every 10 years. I mean, not, you know, to evaluate progress. And I don't know if he said that, but I really like that perspective. Like, we often put our practice and ourselves under a microscope. And sometimes I think the telescopic view is a more appropriate one for the slow alchemy of transformation that happens, that's very deep and often very lasting, and we don't quite know when or how it happened. You know, it's like if I look back, I'm still an anxious being or a being that has anxious wiring. But if I compare it to like 30 years ago or 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, I'm like not anxious in quite the same way. I don't relate to that habit of mind in the same way, and it doesn't derail me as badly or as long. So I would encourage the long arc. And where you can hold yourself more closely is around cultivating and holding close and tending your intention and your dedication or devotion to showing up for yourself. And then it's beautiful that you show up for each other here as a community, you know, because sometimes that's the progress in our practice, is that we really feel fed and nourished and transformed by connection, being in the presence of like-minded and like-hearted individuals. So with that as a little bit of framing, I thought what would be lovely around this holiday time and the turning of the year, which hopefully brings, you know, peace and some transformation in maybe a slightly shorter arc than, you know, the 10-year arc. But I know there's a lot of things going on in our world that have these very long arcs of tending to externally as well as what's happening internally. I thought we could focus for the next couple of weeks again on the heart qualities through another lens. We've talked about so many of these heart qualities in these 8 months, 9 months together now. The paramis and those, you know, 10 perfections, those qualities for living a wholesome life. We've worked with kindness at times and compassion. And there's a family of teachings that bring together four heart qualities. They're called the Brahma Viharas, divine abodes. I love that translation. It's like these homes in our heart that we can create and live in. And the four of them are kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. So I thought that would be lovely around this time of, you know, drawing inward. And I think the heart qualities are some of the best companions on our journey for working with the arc of development in our practice. You know, we can't necessarily transform what's happening, but we can transform how we're relating to it. And these heart qualities really help us shift our relationship. So I thought we'd start with kindness today and practice together. And I'll say just a few words about kindness after the practice, and then we'll have some sharing. But I kind of front-loaded, I guess, the talk today. And so I invite you to nest in, whatever that means for you. Whether that's sitting or lying down, we can position the body in a way where there's an alertness of mind and alertness of attention that's independent, really, of the body posture. And as you're settling in, to find a way of inhabiting the body in this moment that allows for a measure of ease. Practicing with the heart qualities is supported by ease in the body. So, allowing a few slightly deeper breaths. Letting each exhalation carry away any unnecessary tension or tightness in the body that's willing or able to dissolve, to dissipate. We're not releasing the body through force of will or efforting, but rather creating more space around the body and in the body for the knotted places to begin to loosen and lengthen on their own. Maybe bringing particular care and attention to some of those places that can be reservoirs of tension. Softening through the eyes that might be working harder than ever with all this screen time. Relaxing through the jaw. Opening through the throat, allowing more space for the in-breath to easily flow into and through the body. More space for full release on the exhalation. Inviting the shoulders to drop with the next out-breath. Letting the arms just hang at ease from the shoulders, hands soft wherever they rest. Noticing if there's any holding in the abdomen, maybe letting the next breath travel down and open and soften the belly. And as the belly softens, it might allow a loosening in the low back as well. We so often protect those tender places in the body, in our core. We protect physically and emotionally, so letting there be a settling, a softening to whatever degree feels possible. Just checking in for any bracing in the legs and the lower body. Sometimes the momentum of how fast we move through life is held in the legs, and so letting them rest here. Letting your body land in this moment and feeling the support of being held by the earth, by the chair or the cushion. Having allowed your awareness to wash through the body in this way, maybe there's the tiniest flicker of warmth or appreciation for the body. No need to work hard to fabricate that. Just allowing and noticing if there's any gratitude or appreciation for the degree of health, well-being, or mobility that the body currently has. Maybe tuning in to the felt sense of the breath. This miraculous process that works in the background of every moment of our life. Drinking in the gift of oxygen with each inhalation. And the cleansing and clearing that comes with each exhalation. to kindness. One of them is touching into a felt sense of goodness in ourselves or another being. Sometimes it's touching into the goodness of connection or relationship. So I invite you to call to mind someone that you really care about. And sometimes the ones we care about come with a lot of complexity. So, as a first act of kindness to yourself in this practice, you might choose one of the simpler someones that you care about, a grandchild or a dear friend. A beloved pet. A favorite tree. Could be, you know, some living being that perhaps sparks a flicker of warmth in your heart when you call them to mind. Maybe letting yourself hold an image of them in your mind's eye, silently saying their name to yourself. Or lightly, very lightly touching into some memories or stories about your experience of them, just enough to touch their goodness, you know, their playfulness, their joy, their kindness, their generosity, whatever it is that you so appreciate about this living being, the way it models strength or resilience or beauty. Keep checking in for that flicker of warmth in your own heart that might arise in the presence of this being. Might be a sense of care or friendliness or delight. And if you at any point sense this flicker, let your awareness rest there in your heart, tending to that flicker, inviting it to grow, to take root. It's almost like when you light a campfire, you know, you light it and sometimes it's a quick burn, but often it's a very slow process. You know, there might be an initial flicker when the paper catches light, but then it's like the twigs and the sticks that are kindling, and then at some point the log. So just let that little spark of warmth, give it air and room and space, and just notice what happens. No demands, just an interest, a curiosity to tend the fire of warmth in your own heart. And as the warmth from the fire in your heart perhaps continues, might even grow or expand, see if you can invite or allow that warmth to radiate out from your heart. Just like the light from a campfire, even a small campfire, can illuminate into the darkness for quite a distance. Even a single candle in a dark room can light the entire room. So it's not about how big the fire of warmth in your heart is, but to just notice, invite a radiating out of this warmth, and you might begin to see who visits your campfire. Maybe other loved ones or loved places or beings, human or animal. And just if someone comes into your mind or heart, taking a few moments with them here in the circle of the campfire of your heart, a few moments for connection, care, and appreciation. It might remain a very intimate circle, or there might be quite a crowd that shows up, and there's room for all. The heart's light has no limit. And as you sit here, emanating warmth, don't miss that the flame of your own kindness warms the one whom it touches first. And that's you. So seeing if you can open to feel, to receive, to be nourished by your own warmth, your own capacity to feel kindness. Maybe taking in, if it's present for you, how good it feels to be kind. And if somehow it feels hard to access that, or to feel or recognize your own warmth, maybe seeing it reflected in the eyes, the faces, the energy of those who have come to sit around the campfire of your heart in this practice, to take in the reflected warmth. In the context of these connections. And as we come toward the completion of this practice, and taking a few moments to reflect on how might you carry or tend this flame of warmth in your heart today? How might you share it with others, those that you know, those that you don't know? So that in some way, all beings may know the gift of kindness. That all beings may be held in warm regard and with respect. That they may feel the gift of care and relationship. That kindness may be a balm to ease the suffering of the world. May it be so. So I'll just say just a few more words about kindness. Kindness, the Pali word that's often associated with this practice is metta. I know many of you have heard that, M-E-T-T-A. And it's translated in different ways. It's often translated loving kindness, which for many people is actually quite daunting. It feels like a really high bar, you know, especially when we reach those categories of beings that are more difficult for us. We think, oh, I can't love, you know, fill in the blank with whoever's most difficult in your personal life or your political life or whatever it might be. And I really appreciate some of the other translations of kindness, friendliness, goodwill, because I think it offers additional access points where even those that we find difficult, maybe, you know, not those that we find the most difficult, that's a long time practice, we often can find some sense of goodwill, some sense of, you know, we don't like them, they're very challenging for us, but we don't necessarily wish them harm. You know, it's like actually if they had more goodwill or ease in their lives, other people's lives around them would be easier. So we can find entry points for this practice of kindness that are more expansive. So I would invite you to take in, you know, any of the framings or flavors, and you may come up with others that really speak to you, that might be access points to this quality of warmth, you know, there's or respect, or a sense of, for the respect and dignity of all people and all beings. You know, for many people, they resonate more, and their entry points are not necessarily humans. Many people, it's an access point through their connection to animals or landscapes or Mother Earth. And so it's all about accessing our own hearts more than, you know, what am I doing out there? Or who, you know, there's not a best access point. It's just the one that works for you. And different access points work at different times. And there's also so many ways to practice. Many of you I know from classes with me and from other places you've practiced, and probably we've even done it in here in these last 9 months. You know, there's often classic practices with metta that are phrases, you know, these well wishes. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease and joy. You know, may you be free from suffering. And some people really like that form of practice, and we'll do some work with phrases with some of the other heart qualities. But today I thought it would be just nice to practice in a more felt sense. Some people really resonate with that more, that the phrases feel a little artificial or forced in some way. And there's a whole nother tradition of practicing kindness as a radiating practice. You know, I've heard people talk about like a lighthouse, you know, the light reaching out, or a campfire, or, you know, and so there may be ways, but that warmth, that illumination quality for some people is an entry place. So I just offered that as an option. And with all of these heart qualities, there's a lot of room for creativity and options. So as we're exploring, I really invite you to discover, you know, what these practices mean for you. And so I thought we could take a few minutes together in your small groups, and you might talk about, you know, what does kindness mean for you, or what practice works for you or brings you great joy, or maybe how might kindness, you know, help you through the holidays or to continue to weather COVID, and we'll come back just for a final kindness poem. So I'll just set up our breakout rooms, and I invite you to enjoy each other's kind company. Welcome back. I'll just see if there's anything brief that really wants to be spoken before our closing poem. Okay, so I have a poem entitled Kindness. It's by Carrie Newcomer. And some of you may have heard this one before, and it might feel like you're meeting an old friend. Some of you, you might be meeting a new friend. Kindness. Kindness is human size, honest and doable, softening even the hardest of days. The country cousin to love, unpretentious and daily, and completely possible. It takes out its earbuds and listens to your story. It gives up its seat on the bus and hums in the kitchen, washing dishes when nobody asked it to. And more often than not, if I start with a little kindness, love is usually following just a few steps behind, nodding and smiling and saying, "That's the way it's done. Yes, honey, that's the way it's done." So, I hope your week is filled with kindness and, you know, tend to those little flickers of kindness. Sometimes it's a roaring bonfire, sometimes it's a birthday candle, and it's all kindness. It all has a quality of warmth. And, you know, you can relight a fire from just a tiny little ember. So, and I plan to be here next week. So, I will see you. I'm not going to take